Your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to John chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'll do something a little different than I usually do. I'm going to somewhat take for granted that you read your Bible when you come to church this morning, because I'm going to refer to a lot of things that I hope you realize are right out. I'm lifting right out of the Word of God. But in the effort to put all these things together, I don't really want to stop and go look for them, but Lord willing, we've been through this enough, you should know what we do here comes out of the Bible, and I want you to know that. John chapter 12, verse number 20, if you will. John chapter 12, verse number 20. Verse number 20 in John chapter 12 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast." The Greeks, of course, were not the Jews. And, of course, Jesus came to give the gospel to the Jew first. Of course, the Jews rejected him. Came unto his own received him not. But there were certain Greeks that came to worship at the feast. Verse 21, "The same came therefore to Philip." He was one of the disciples, "which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus." Their desire was to see Jesus. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Now, if you really want to see Jesus, you want to see who he is, the heartbeat of who he is, what he lived for, if you will, and still lives for. If you really want to see Jesus, who he is, what he's all about, the next verse gives you his answer. They said, "We would see Jesus," and his answer was this, verse 23, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." We're glorified there gives the connotation to be seen for what he really is. To be seen for who he is on the inside and the outside. The depth of his heart. When we glorify Jesus, what we're really doing are letting everybody see who he is. We glorify him in our life. We're letting the others see Christ in us. And he says, "You want to see Jesus? You want to see me?" He says, "Well, the hour is come that a Son of Man should be glorified," should be seen for who he is. Verse 24, "Verily, verily, or truly, I say unto you," this is how it's going to be glorified, "except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Then he gives a little side note here to those who are listening. Kind of teaches them a lesson here on, you know, if you want all, give it all. He says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me." In other words, do what I do, go where I go. "Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." In verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." This is why he came to earth. For the hour that was about to come that we're going to talk about here this morning. So he says, for this cause came I unto his hour. Father, glorify thy name. Let them see who you are through me. That's what Jesus was saying. God made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says, "You've seen me, you have seen the Father." He says, "Father, these people want to see Jesus. Let them see you through me." Then came the voice, verse 28, from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." What's he saying? He says, "Father, I want you to glorify your name." He says, "I have. I've used you this last 33 and a half years to show the world who I am. And I'm going to do it again. The hour is going to prove, it's going to prove who you are and who the Father is. Jesus answered and said, go back to verse 29. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thunders. Others said an angel spake to them. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now listen to me. These people said, I want to see Jesus. Now there's a lot of folks who see the outside, if you will. They see the outside of religion. They see the outside of church. The fact is, what God is looking for is for a relationship with us, to abide with Him, to have that relationship that's close and it's tight. I think sometimes we forget that this is not some impersonal force, but this is a personal God who gave His life for us. He says, you want to see Jesus? Jesus says, I'll show you myself. They're going to lift me up on a cross. And if you want to show Christ, follow me and do the same. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, when you jump to chapter 13, verse 1, it says this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he has already glorified the name of God by showing the love of Christ all along. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He's glorified his name so far, but he's going to glorify it again by loving them unto the end. Jesus had loved them this far. His love would not be compromised now. Let's pray. And this is a little different this morning, but let's pray. And we're just going to focus on the fact that He loves unto the end. He loves unto the end. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, our Savior. Amazing love. How can it be that our God would die for us? Or may we just see Jesus this morning. He said, love is of God because God is love. Jesus came expressing that love. The love of Christ, the love of the Father, that great, amazing love. May we just see that this morning. May your Spirit move and speak to our hearts. And Lord, be one this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I'm not saying they'll know Him as the man who came and died, but do they know Him as Savior? That's why He died. May they come to know Christ this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 144, verse 3 says, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like the vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. We get so full of ourselves sometimes, we forget, why would God even bother with us? He created us, and in our heart we turn against Him. And yet He loves us to the end. First thought I want you to understand is this. Jesus loved. I know He's talking about the disciples. But the fact is, the old song we've sung around here, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. When He was on the cross, you were on His mind. He saw our sinful state thousands of years to come. Jesus loved to the end in the face of suffering. It says there in John 13:1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, he loved them to the end." If you go on the next verse there, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into his heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel within wherewith he was girded." He loved them. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his death had been foretold in the Passover. He, the good little Jewish boy, had learned what the Passover meant, had kept the Passover. He knew that they were going to take an innocent lamb, spotless, blameless. Slit the throat. Drain the blood. When they did the Passover, they did it at the doorpost. The blood would lay at the door. Then they would take a piece of hyssop, and they dip it in the blood, and they would strike the doorpost at the top, and they strike it at each of the side posts. Crown of thorns. The hands being pierced with the nails, and the pool of blood at the feet. His life poured out for us. He knew about the Passover. He knew his disciples. He knew us. And having loved us this far, loved them this far, he loved them to the end. He washed their feet. Now back then, you know, they wore sandal type things. And of course, there was nothing but mud. We used to complain when we first got here. We had stones on the road over here in the parking lot. And every time it would rain, it was a sloppy mess. And ladies would mess up their shoes and their heels would sink into the mud. And we'd work our way into here. And by the way, you like the parking lot? I like it. It looks pretty good there. All nice and hard all the way around. It's good. But it didn't used to be like that. Back then, there's a lot of other things. It wasn't oil left from the cars on the road. They had a different form of transportation. It left other things on the road. Only a servant would wash the feet. The Lord washed their feet and wiped the dirt on himself. He wiped it on what he was girded with. Can you imagine by the time he got finished, all 12 disciples, the muddy mess that he was? But that was nothing compared to the sins he was going to bear the next day. Jesus comforted them over his death. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." A little later he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but my peace." Jesus knew his hour had come and how he would depart from the world by way of crucifixion. And Jesus knew what a crucifixion was. And he loved them. He loved, Jesus loved them, though they had not always been fully on board with him during the ministry. There was times they questioned his majesty. Sometimes they questioned his motives. Sometimes they questioned his methods. Jesus loved them, though they were going to forsake him. He knew that they were going to forsake him during his greatest hour of need. Jesus loved them, though he would be betrayed. Jesus loved them, though they would not even pray with him when he told them he was greatly troubled. Matthew said that this way, Jesus came with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith unto him, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Mark says it this way in chapter 14, verse 32. He says, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." Verse 34, he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." There was all of man and all of God in conflict right there. He had to purposely love. He knew what the crucifixion would bring upon his body and the suffering and the sin. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." At least pray for yourself. "The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away, and the people and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them again asleep, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. Listen, Jesus loved them to the end. He loved them to the end, though he would be betrayed by someone he had befriended. Judas had been chosen to live with Christ and learn under the Messiah. But he would sell him for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. Jesus loved them, that it was because of their sins that he was arrested as a common criminal. Matthew 26 tells us, "Then at the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." He could have stopped all this. He goes on, he says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Jesus loved them, though he was denied by the one that walked on water with him. And then when he turned and saw he was drowning, he turned back and said, "Lord, save me." And he saved him when he doubted. Peter had seen the feeding of the 5,000 plus and the 4,000 plus. He had seen the extra baskets full. He had seen how that somehow it just began. The bread of life was constant, never ending, all sufficient. Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. I think he was thankful for that. Peter had seen the great catch of fish on a day when there was no fish to catch. Peter had seen Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Had heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." But a little girl was enough to threaten him. Out of fire. Jesus loved them, though he had come unto his own, and his own received him not. came into his own town. They were pricked in the heart. They nearly dashed him to pieces as they pushed him to the edge of the precipice. Jesus loved them, though he was mocked. Not respected. Pushed aside. He was taken to the high priest's office after that arrest in the garden. They blindfolded him. They beat him. They began to make accusations. They said, "Well, why didn't you ask me this?" And they slapped him. "How dare you talk to the high priest that way? How dare the high priest talk to God that way?" They spat upon him. Jesus was turned over to the Gentiles by his own people to be executed. He would be accused publicly, falsely. His name maligned. Jesus loved them, though he was denied a fair trial. Jesus became a political pawn, sacrificed for political advantage. He could have fought the charges, but went as a lamb to the slaughter, speaking not a word, but rather thinking, "For this, I came to this hour. Should we stop now?" See, he loved us this far. He's going to love us to the end. Jesus loved them, though he would be tortured. Took him to the soldiers, had the soldiers scourge Jesus, to the point where he no longer looked like a human being. That cat of nine tails would come around and grab the body, and just as it would grab, they'd pull it back to rip the flesh. Time after time after time. All the time laughing, "Well, if you're king of the Jews, stop us. You're so great, defeat us." Crown of thorns were placed on his head, driven to his scalp by a rod. The blood and the sweat going down into the wound, burning the nerve endings. Soldiers bowed to him. They took his own, he had his own clothes off as he whipped him, and they put this scarlet robe on his back. They put the reed that they had used to hit him in the head in his hand, and they bowed, "Oh, King of the Jews! Oh, hail, King of the Jews!" And they mocked him and mocked him until the blood dried. And the scarlet robe became one with his back and his wounds. Then they took it off. Put a cross on his back. Crucifixion means to impale. He was a carried to his own execution, stripped, the nails driven in his hands. The cross was raised, and the people cheered. The crowd had come to the crucifixion with their picnic lunches to enjoy a day of execution. His back was opened again by the splinters of the rough hand-hewn beams. The flesh in his hands and his feet were torn as a cross was dropped in the hole and his bones fell out of joint. They traded his garments, gambled for one. His lungs filled with fluid. He had to press against the nails in his hands and his feet as he tried to raise his lungs up out of the fluid that was gathering in his chest cavity. All along, he endured the cheers, the jeers and of the crowd and the wagging of the heads. If you're king of the Jews, get yourself off the cross. If you're the Son of God, save yourself. Others you save, but you can't save yourself. Jesus loved them to the end. He prayed, Father, forgive them. The ones that had mocked him and those that had crucified him. It could be even for anyone else. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He was on the cross and he loved. He was thinking of his own mother when he gave her care to John. Jesus cared enough to stop in compassion and offer grace to a thief hanging next to him on a cross. Jesus loved them as the sky drew black until there was a darkness that could be felt. The earth shook, and all creation goes into convulsions as the Lord God of the all creation has the sins of us laid on Him. The iniquities of us all. As Jesus is separated from the Father and cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus loved them to the end. He cries out once more, it is finished. Jesus loved them. And then he came back looking for them after the resurrection. He came back looking for them. Jesus still cared for them even though they had professed that they would die for him if necessary. And then they scattered and ran in his greatest hour of need. He tells Mary Magdalene, go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell them I'm looking for them in Galilee. Jesus came looking for them when they decided to go back to their old way of life and go fishing. He's cooking breakfast on the shore. Come. Hey, some fish right over there. Cast your net on that side. John says, it's the Lord. Peter didn't even wait to get the boat in. Jumped in the water, he ran. He said, Peter, do you love me? You go back and study it. Peter says, I'm very fond of you, Jesus. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? I'm really very fond of you, Jesus. Feed my sheep. One more time, he says, Peter, you like me a lot, don't you? He says, yeah. Feed my lambs. Peter, there's going to come a day when they're going to take you, you used to dress yourself and so forth. Somebody's going to dress you in something you don't want. They're going to carry you someplace you don't want to be. signifying what death he would die. You know what he's saying? You're fond of me right now, but I got hope for you, Peter. Your love's going to be strong one of these days. And if Jesus had stopped loving, Peter would have never been the man that he needed to be. He loved them to the end. Listen, he came to him in the upper room looking for him. They were kind of scared at first. Then they were thrilled. But one old boy wasn't there. They tried to convince Thomas that we'd seen him. Not unless I see him myself. I'm not gonna, I've got to put my hands in the scars in the prince's hands and push my side where the spear pierced his side. After everything had gone on, Jesus could have said, well, you know what? I got most of them. I don't need Thomas. No, he came back for Thomas. He loved them to the end. Thomas, don't be unbelieving. They say that Thomas went to India to give the gospel and gave his life for Christ. Jesus loved them to the end. Herein was the Son of God glorified. We came, we would see Jesus. And says, the hour has come, you're going to see who I am. And the world saw who he is. 1 John 4:9 says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why? For God so loved the world. Amen. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love. He proved, he demonstrated, he put in action his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, all because he chose to love us to the end. This is our Savior, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the embodiment of the Father, who is love, unconditional love, unfailing love, unending love, a love that loves to the end. Father, thank you for being with us here this morning. I don't want to make any other point but that you love us, and you love us to the end. How could we ever turn our back on you? And yet, old sinful flesh so often fails, runs away, but your love never ends. You never stop. It never ends. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.